You are tuned into CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia. My name is Andy Resto, and this program is called The Burrow. It's on every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. This week, very exciting episode. Going to be centered around the improvised music meeting that's happening this weekend at China Cloud and Western Front, which we'll hear a little more about later. Going to have a live performance here in the studio from Peggy Lee, as well as an interview that I did with Dylan Vanderskiff. pronunciation of that, I will figure it out. To kick things off right now, we're going to hear a track from a record put out by Film and Music, which is a project that Peggy Lee, who's in studio now, is part of. It's called Epilogue to Part One, and features a solo from Ron Samrath on this track, who is also a part of the improvised music meeting this weekend. Again, all of which we will hear more details about later on. So thank you for listening. This is Film and Music here on the Burrow, CITR 101.9 FM. On the other side, we will hear from Peggy Lee.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Epilogue to Part 1 from the album Telltale by Film and Music here on the Borough CITR 101.9 FM. This program is on every Monday from 3 until 4 p.m. And this week, I'm joined in studio by cellist Peggy Lee, who is on that record that you were just hearing. And right now we're going to hear a live improvised set from Peggy herself. She is here in the studio, very excited. So for the next however long it lasts, we are going to be hearing what you will be hearing is live improvised cello here at CITR 101.9 FM. And then on the other side, we will have a chat with Peggy. Mm-hmm.
The Vancouver Improvised Music Meeting 2017 presents Baltimore-based pedal steel guitarist Susan Alcorn, LA-based drummer percussionist Ted Burns, and Portland-Vancouver-based saxophonist, flautist, and clarinetist John Gross, in concert with an amazing lineup of local musicians. Come see and take part in the Vancouver Improvised Music Meeting 2017, Thursday, March 23rd at the China Cloud, Friday, March 24th, and Saturday, March 25th at the Western Front. Additionally, there will be a public workshop on Saturday, March 25th at the Western Front with dancer Barbara Bourget and bassist Torsten Moeller. Ticket information can be found at vim.brownpapertickets.com.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband Tom and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it. So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
It could be global, trance, spoken word, rock, the usual and the weird, or it could be something different. Oral Tentacles, Thursdays 12 to 6 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
You are tuned in to The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM. We have returned from a trip. Not sure where was that? What was the landscape in your head during that?
Oh, I was just trying to disappear. It was a little hard in this little bowl here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everything is visible here. We're joined in studio, and if you have been tuned in, you just heard a live performance from Vancouver-based cellist Peggy Lee. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Hanging in there.
Happy to be here.
Great. Yeah, thank you for coming. That was wonderful. So one reason that you're here is the improvised music meeting that's happening this weekend, mm-hmm. Which you'll be performing at on the first night, the Thursday night, at China Cloud. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and what your role during the festival is going to be?
Sure. Well, I'll be playing Thursday night, and there'll be three sets of music that night, and the set I'm involved in is with Cole Schmidt, the guitar player, and Joshua Zubot, violinist. And the intent, we actually had this set up before we'd actually play together, the three of us, and as far as Dylan was concerned, he was programming the evening, we could totally improvise, or we could bring repertoire if we felt like it. And just so happened that we had the opportunity to play a couple of weeks ago at the Gold Saucer as part of the Sawdust Collector series on Tuesday nights. So we ended up having an opportunity to play as a trio. So, and we performed some sort of open scores, graphic scores of Joshua Zubot's on that evening. And it was really fun. Great. Mm. Great fun to play that music. So we'll probably do some of that on Thursday, and possibly maybe a piece or two by Cole or myself. We haven't completely figured it out, but that's what improvised music meetings are all about.
That's what it's all about. Great. And so you're involved in a variety of projects. We heard one of them at the beginning of the show, Film and Music. Is there any condensed way that you can wrap up what you feel your practice is, how you would describe yourself as a musician, an artist?
Relatively condensed. Well, I am an improviser, a composer, cellist, and I like to do a number. I play in a lot of different situations, from completely improvised to through composed. I play with the opera orchestra here. I play in a new music ensemble, Standing Wave, which does commissions new works, and we play a lot of modern repertoire. Well, exclusively, I would say, modern repertoire. Most of that is through composed. Mm. But what I do in my own practice, I guess, as far as my own bands that I form, is combine written and improvisation. And I like to play with improvisers. I like to write for them. I like to imagine what they will add to the composition.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Another, we're going to hear in a bit, I guess, in the second half of the show here, an interview that I did this weekend with Dylan Vanderskiff, and a drummer who's also helping organize the festival this weekend.
Well, he's the artistic director of the festival, yes.
Saw you two play last week with the group Dalavas. That's another project that you're part of. The question I wanted to ask, so that was put on by the Music on Main folks, and they've been commissioning a lot of works, and I asked in the interview, I asked Dylan about this, but for that kind of organization, for you personally, what would be a piece, maybe an older piece, that you'd like to see commissioned to have come and performed here in Vancouver, if anything is on your mind? Like, for example, they put on like the Steve Reich Music for 18 Musicians thing a few months ago. If there's anything like a dream piece for you that you'd love to see performed.
Gee, you put me on the spot there. You didn't prepare me with this one. I might have to get back to you.
Yeah, yeah, no problem. It's a big question.
I don't really think in those terms.
That's fine. I threw it out there. That's great. Anyhow, are there, before I'm going to, what I have lined up next, we're going to hear a piece from Ted Burns called A Disciplinarian Society. And he's going to be part of the festival this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of that, to fill out the hour, you'll hear the interview that I did with Dylan over the weekend, talking about the festival and other things. Are there anything you want to say about the festival? Any last words, I guess, like to inspire people of what they'll see this weekend?
Well, it's truly, especially the second two nights at the Western Front, it's truly improvised music. And in fact, many of these musicians not only haven't played together, but they never even met. I had the good fortune to meet Susan Alcorn in Toronto in December. We both played on a bill. Each playing solo. We didn't play together, but I just was blown away by her playing and so excited that Dylan was able to bring her out for this festival. So she'll be meeting the Vancouver musicians for the first time, and I'm going to be definitely listening hard to see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, great. And she's a pedal steel player.
That's right, yeah.
Great. Yeah. Very cool. Okay. We'll in the interview we'll hear more about those two nights and what'll be happening. This Thursday night, time and place for the show this Thursday night.
It's the China Cloud. I believe that's 524 Main Street.
Pretty much the corner of Main and Hastings. Yeah, very close.
Yeah, it's south of Hastings by a block and a half, I think, between Kiefer and Pender, and it's up, up second floor.
Yeah.
I actually don't. Is it 10? No, it's probably not. I don't even know what time it starts. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
I'll have to find that out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But there's three sets of music. Barbara Adler and James Meager are doing a set, and Aram Bajakian's so-called blues trio, which is with Colin Cowan and Dan Gaucher, and should be a great night.
Great. And that the doors for that are going to be at 8:30, show at 9 for this Thursday. All right, awesome. Thanks so much for the set, Peggy. That was great.
My pleasure.
We're going to hear again, a piece from Ted Burns right now called A Disciplinary in Society. And then on the other side of that, you'll hear an interview that I recorded with Dylan Vanderskiff over the weekend here on the Borough, CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory.
Ever had a hankering to ski the world-famous slopes of
Whistler?
Boy, do we have great news for you. Escape the city in one of Zipcar's many mountain-ready vehicles. Plus, get $30 back in free driving credit when you tweet a selfie on the slopes at Zipcar Vancouver. Zipcar, wheels when you want them.
I've never made any stupid statements before, but this could be the
first
time.
That's good. Yeah. that's a good start. Okay, you're tuned in to The Borough on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory at the University of British Columbia. My name is Andy Resto. I host the show, and this week I have an interview sitting here with
need to get the pronunciation right, but Dylan Vander Schiff?
Scaife.
Scaife?
Scaife.
What is that? I'm assuming it's German.
It's Dutch, so but it's okay, via it's South Africa.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
So
okay.
Very. I don't think anyone in Holland still has that name. Mm-hmm. So it's a. Yeah, it's a. It's after many years in South Africa. So.
Have you dug into your ancestry to figure out?
We've tried to, but it's really hard because the people that came there, at least my lineage, were all farmers. There's no real. Yeah, it's really hard to trace back.
Yeah.
More than a couple generations.
That's a great, mysterious beginning to yes. mysterious music, I'd say. You're here mainly, among other things, to chat about an event happening next weekend, which has happened before, called the Improvise Music Meeting here
That's
in
right.
Vancouver, put on by Barking Sphinx is the name
Barking
of that
Sphinx
yeah.
Performance Society. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Is this the second year it's happening, or are we?
This is the fourth year.
Oh, nice.
It's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Do you want to just talk about in general what it is right now and
okay.
your role that you play in it?
Sure. Well, I'm currently the artistic director of Barking Sphinx Performance Society, and I took over the role from Ron Samworth, who was running things there for about 20 years. So I took over for him kind of in an intern position, and my initial idea was to try to initiate an ongoing festival, mini festival, or concert series that was focused mainly on improvised music, freely improvised music, so not genre specific, and that also focused on the local scene of musicians. And we're lucky in Vancouver, we have a lot of great performers who are versatile, who can perform in many different musical styles, and one of them is free improvisation, because we have this nice tradition of free improvised music in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So it was also in response to the fact that there was actually a very, very nice free improvisation event called Time Flies, which was sponsored by the Coastal Jazz and Blues Society, that went on for many years, but was recently cut. And so my program was also kind of trying to fill that void too. Mm-hmm. Although the focus of the Time Flies Festival was more on guests coming from outside, from Europe and the States.
Okay.
And we have guests, we have two or three guests every year, but the focus is more on the local scene.
Quickly, if you want to talk about who the performers are this year.
Sure. Well, we have two venues. The first venue is at Western Front, which is on 8th and Scotia, which is a venue that has had a long history of hosting all kinds of artistic yeah. projects. And those shows start at 8. And then the other venue is China Cloud, which is on Main Street. Those shows start a little bit later. At Western Front, we have Torsten Müller, an acoustic bass player, who has a long, he lives here now, but he has a long connection to the European free improv community, going back to the 70s, 80s. We have Meredith Bates, who is a younger improviser. She plays in bands like Pugs and Crows.
Oh, right, okay.
You probably have heard of that band.
Yeah.
But she's a fantastic free improviser also. We have also Paul Plimley, who's a veteran Vancouver improviser, pianist. And then we also have Susan Alcorn from Baltimore. She's a pedal steel player, incredible musician. She plays music that's more traditionally associated with the pedal steel, but then also she does renditions of pieces by Messiaen, and then free improvisation, sound experimentation, that kind of thing with that instrument. From L.A., we have Ted Burns, who's a fantastic percussionist, fairly new to me, but Torsten actually had worked with him a few years ago and was really impressed with him, so I checked out some of his work. It's great. So we're really excited to have him come up here. We're also going to be having Ron Samworth, a guitarist, who was the founding director of Barking Sphinx mm-hmm. Performance Society, as well as Bill Clark, who is also a veteran of the Vancouver improvised music scene. And lastly, saxophonist John Gross, who is the most veteran member of the group of musicians we have, who's worked with everyone from Woody Herman to Toshiko Ashioki Big Band to Billy Mintz to just an endless array of outstanding jazz performers. And he's originally from Portland. He's been based in Portland for many years now, but he's now living in Vancouver. We're really lucky to have him here.
Great. Yeah. I thought it was interesting that you're saying how these are kind of showcasing the local improvised music scene and then bringing in some extra performers. But it's interesting for me, at least, because a lot of what I'm like exposed to here, like working at CITR or whatever in the circles that I'm around, is a lot of like, you know, garage rock music and like these kind of small scenes of people. But it's interesting. I saw you perform with the group Dalava last week for their record release. And the weird spot where some of that like overlaps, that like Colin Cowan was playing bass, which I was surprised by. I wasn't aware, but he runs the China Cloud as well.
That's
where that connection comes in. But found that interesting to see kind of the other side of some of these musicians and stuff.
Yeah, there's definitely that influence in Aram's music. Mm-hmm. That hardcore influence, punk, a bit of that in there too. It's kind of a nice meeting of that Czech folk music and that kind of, well, downtown New York sensibility, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So you yourself are primarily a drummer.
Yes. Yes. And,
do you want to talk about, it might be a bigger question, but your practice of sorts and how it developed and into the style you have? Because I find improvised drumming interesting. I had someone on the show recently, John Brennan, who does drumming, and he performed here. And I was just asking him how it comes about that you start doing some of these weird things with cymbals and stuff, and how you break away from like the traditional like carrying a beat. You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I think the main thing is you start experimenting with sound as opposed to genre and beat. That's not to say that, at least in my own work, that I dogmatically avoid those standard things, because I use them all the time, actually. But there are many ways in which I'm either trying to deconstruct those things that are quote-unquote drumming things or drumming activities, but then also trying to work with the sound of the instrument just from a sonic perspective and trying to draw that out.
Yeah, okay.
So it's been a process of developing, for lack of a better word, a vocabulary or a lexicon of gestures that are flexible that I can use in various situations. That kind of approach holds true for many free improvisers. So the experimentation is done when you're at home working, and then when you go out to play, you come with these kind of well-defined gestures and ways of strategies for dealing with improvising.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so it is improvised, but it's coming from a structure that you've kind of made yourself, that you have to draw from.
Yeah, there are structures and there are gestures. And that's why when you hear, sometimes it can take a new listener a while to get used to it. But if you come and you listen to, say, for example, Evan Parker or Derek Bailey or any great improviser, you'll start to recognize them. You'll start to recognize the things that they do and the kinds of strategies that they employ, even though they might be playing with very, very different people in very different contexts. Right. You'll be able to say, oh, that's that improviser. I recognize that approach.
Referencing the Dalava show. Am I saying that right? Dalava? There was in the program, there's an interview with Aram, and one of the questions was, what natural ability do you wish you had? Or like what natural talent do you wish you had? I think his answer was photographic memory. I thought that was an interesting question. Not a bad answer. As I was thinking about it, I was like, that's solid. I don't know if that's what I would choose, but that's good. Do you have an answer to that question?
Oh man, I don't.
What do you think you draw on, a natural ability you draw on that allows you to do what you do?
I think it could be a kind of willingness to stay open to the moment. Mm-hmm. I think when I'm improvising and I'm at my best, I'm allowing myself to be fully immersed in the moment and not reaching ahead too far to things that I want to do, but being aware of how the possibilities open up in front of you, given what's just happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, maybe not the clearest answer, but I think when I definitely feel like when I'm at my best, I'm in that state where I'm able to do that, and I'm not mm-hmm. thinking so much about myself. I'm thinking about the environment that I'm
right.
in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Another recently release that we got here, at least at the station, was Film and Music record.
Yeah.
That you are on, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I guess the more general question I have, you can talk about that record and what it was, but also comparing something like that with then like Dalava and then doing this improvised music meeting. How disparate is it, or is it not disparate at all? What's happening here? Because it all seems like it's a lot of stuff going on all
yeah.
the time. And how does that you like approach things differently, or like what is it that'll allow you to get into a different mode when thinking about
okay? things? Well, all of the Dalava project and Peggy's Film and Music project, they're similar in a way in that. Both of those projects involve pieces that are frameworks, and different aspects of them dictate certain stylistic things that mm-hmm. you kind of have to do something in, you know, at least close to that. But then there are also other areas where it's quite open, and it's up to you to create your own part. Especially for me as a drummer,
mm-hmm.
I have a lot of freedom to create my own part. To help things flow, and then also to help keep things fresh by changing it up.
Yeah,
that's part of my job as a percussionist in those bands.
Yeah,
and, Peggy's record was she was really inspired by the show Deadwood. I don't know if you've seen that show, but
I read the write up on the album.
Okay, yeah, David Milch, he is the writer of that show, and one of the cool things that she really liked about that show was just the overall. The overall feeling of it, the way that the show had been set up and the way it looked and felt, but also the fact that there were these moments where you'd have this really amazing dialogue between characters, but then certain characters would break off and go on these almost kind of Shakespearean monologues. It's really okay. very interesting.
Yeah.
And so she decided what she wanted to do was sort of model her ensemble on that. So she would have these composed areas where we'd all be playing and sort of working together towards realizing the composition. And then there would be these long improvised monologues.
Interesting, okay.
So there's one by Torsten, there's one by myself, there's one by Jesse Zubot. And then there are these other sections where the ensemble does improvised dialogues also.
Yeah.
So it's all mixed up with her compositions and us realizing those, small ensemble free improvisations, and then solo free improvisations.
Interesting.
So different levels of dialogue and narrative, if you will.
Yeah.
Cool. The Dalava project doesn't have that conceptual basis to it. Mm. It's really based, the concept for that is, I think, really based in Julia's thinking about folk songs and how they develop almost like living entities.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a song that emerges mysteriously out of a culture for various reasons, mm-hmm. evolves through time, and then evolves through different locations. So that material that she has done, the Dalava material, has had this life from back in the old world
mm-hmm.
to the project that they did in New York and those people that were involved in it, bringing their life experience and what they can do, and then us in Vancouver doing it. So that's a big part of her her PhD thesis, actually. She's an ethnomusicology PhD candidate here at UBC.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And she's doing a really fascinating research project on how folk songs are like living organisms. This goes back to her father's work, actually, her grandfather's work, who was an early, before they had the term ethnomusicologist,
mm-hmm.
he was doing that kind of research. He was a biologist.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think she mentioned during one of the songs that how she had mainly grown up in North America, and how really the way they're playing these aren't traditional at all. They're traditional songs, but they're not playing them traditionally.
Yeah.
But someone like me or whatever, just seeing it, it sounds like, oh, yeah, that sounds like traditional Czech music, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's in Czech, but like not really, right? Like it's totally developed outside of that.
I think there are times when we're doing our best to kind of replicate that sound,
mm-hmm.
but none of us come. Julia is the only one that comes has any connection to that tradition. Mm-hmm. The rest of us don't. But just through just music and just being just through our connected humanity, you know, and hearing music, we do our best, and then we just go off and do our own thing with it too.
Right, and that show was part of a series that Music on Main's been doing shows every Tuesday night at the Fox, and that was one of them. They've been putting on some fascinating shows. They did. I saw the Steve Reich Music for 18 Musicians a few months ago.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and how that was like the first time that had been performed in Vancouver or whatever. Question would be, what piece would you like to see commissioned by a group like that or whoever that you would find would be like fascinating to play now, kind of that you felt like you wouldn't have had the chance to see performed live or kind of now interpreted?
You mean an older piece?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many. I mean, the works of Varese. Okay. I'm a huge fan of that music, Ionization, the piece for a percussion ensemble. Mm-hmm. Also, the works of Ligeti and Xenakis. I think that stuff would, I mean, it's very difficult, but it would be fantastic to hear live. Yeah. And we rarely get a chance to hear that here. I remember years ago when I was in Amsterdam, I saw they were having multiple performances of that kind of repertoire. Mm. But it's expensive and it's hard to put on because it requires a lot of, it's really challenging, you know?
Yeah.
But that, for me, I love, in terms of 20th century European repertoire, European-American repertoire, that stuff is really appealing to me and has been for many years.
Yeah. Great. Bigger picture question. I don't know if you have any sort of answer to this. It just popped in my head that you have lots of projects happening and seem to be and for a long time have been performing music, and I guess I'm just thinking of now, like in 2017, and being here at like a small community radio station, seeing a lot of like small bands, indie bands, whatever, that just do, you know, play random shows, etc. What do you think is the landscape for somebody trying to do any sort of musicianship professionally nowadays, and what that looks like, or what if it's more of a challenge now or not, or if it's always just been a huge challenge to do something like that?
I think it's always been a huge challenge. In the time that I've been involved in playing, in being a professional musician or working in marginalized or art musics, I've seen it definitely go through a change of there used to be a lot more support for marginalized forms of art making in general, I think. It seems much more difficult now than it used to. However, there seem to be more and more younger musicians coming up who are willing to work hard to find places to play, to create communities, to create organizations where stuff can happen. And I think it's the same in not just in the improvised music scene, but and there's also a lot of crossover between these scenes because there has to be.
Yeah.
Because there isn't as much support. And also the way the world is now, things aren't as siloed as they used to be. You get a lot of people who tend to play maybe a bit more jazz stuff, playing also free improv. You get people in the noise and soundscape world working with improvisers, and so there's a lot more crossover, which is exciting.
Yeah,
but I think just in terms of survival, like when I was a younger musician, the idea of actually surviving, just doing art music, was kind of. It was kind of crazy, but also kind of possible.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it seems like there's no way.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You have to have some other job. You have to have some other thing that you do.
Yeah.
To survive, especially if you want to like have kids and be responsible and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. Yeah.
In terms of the landscape now, I think it's always challenging, but I think there's just the infrastructure and the support doesn't. It's a different kind of economic climate.
Yeah.
Everything's about the bottom line now.
Right.
And even back in the 80s and 90s when I was coming up, it wasn't like that. There was an attitude, well, some things are about the bottom line, some things are about art, and some things are, you know, so the funding was different.
And I guess like a a piece that's always kind of like sitting in the background of that nowadays is the difference in consumption of music on a grand scale. In particular, doing something like improvised music that isn't necessarily meant to be heard like, oh, I'm going to go on SoundCloud and listen to this.
Yeah.
Like it really has its full impact when you're like seeing it live. But if that isn't as encouraged, or people don't feel the need to do that as much because they can just get whatever they want and they go on a computer,
yeah,
then that also changes it. Or have you felt that that's changed things?
Well, I started to get really concerned about that, and I don't think I was the only one feeling that way. But recently I've started to notice that interest in going out to shows at these little places that some of my younger colleagues are organizing. I've been kind of heartened because I've been noticing that there are people coming out, and a lot of people that I don't recognize, I haven't seen before, all different ages. And so I'm thinking that maybe this kind of, for a lot of people anyway, this kind of activity is something that they may be going back to, rediscovering. People that maybe have grown up just accessing whatever they want from YouTube and
yeah,
that kind of way of dealing with getting your music, they're finding it kind of exciting and life-affirming to
right,
go out and be with other people at an event where they're actually real people that are making music that's
yeah,
only for you.
Right,
you know,
right.
Only
yeah, yeah,
for
exactly,
you.
It's yeah,
special, right? And then
yeah,
you talk about it afterwards and you're with all those other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of a really, really important aspect of music in general, is the social aspect of
mm-hmm,
it, you know? So I think, I don't know, you know, you have to be wary, but I'm optimistic. I think
mm-hmm,
I think that's something people need and want, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I've started to think more that things like that, it's never meant to be massive. Like, it's never going to be,
no,
like, mass-produced, but it's going to be, but the massive trends are going to go and go away, and then there'll be something new, whereas this kind of, like, niche is always going to be needed,
yeah,
and on its small scale.
Yeah, and that's why people do this. I mean, there's no money involved in
mm-hmm,
it. You know
yeah,
what I mean, there's no money like organizing this festival. It's like on a shoestring.
Yeah,
you know, the musicians get paid as much as we can, but we try to spread it out as much. And everyone understands that, but everyone knows that they do it because it's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good. And people get something out of it that's not about money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about what we were just talking about, coming
right,
together and feeling a sense of community and having an experience together.
Right, right.
You know, and I think people will always want that.
Yeah,
they'll always
yeah,
be looking
yeah,
for that. And no matter what happens, like you said, with the major trends going up and down,
mm-hmm,
there are always going to be people willing to make this kind of thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
You just heard an interview with Dylan Vanderskief, the artistic director of the improvised music meeting happening this weekend here in Vancouver, at the China Cloud on Thursday night and then at Western Front on Friday and Saturday evening. Tickets can be found on brownpapertickets.ca, and they'll also be available at the door for each of the nights. Thank you all for listening. This has been The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM. We're going to close things out with a piece by John Gross called Atonement. John Gross will also be a part of the festival this year. Big thanks to Peggy Lee for playing here in studio this afternoon, and also to Dylan for the interview this past weekend. Jade is up next. She's here with Little Bit of Soul, as always. This has been The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you.
Thank you.